From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message called Redemption Accomplished and Applied, part of this series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 13 and verse 1, Joshua, an old man, had fulfilled his mission of conquering the major cities in the land of Canaan. His work was done, although the people had yet to possess all of the territory for themselves. In verse 6, God instructed Joshua to settle the people in the land and to divide it to them by lot. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing a parallel between the work of Joshua and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've seen, Christ set out to win the blessings of God's grace. Then he had to ensure the settlement of those blessings upon his people. By his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus offered a successful propitiatory sacrifice to God. In other words, he satisfied the wrath of God against those for whom he made that sacrifice. As Christ made clear in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, God the Father had given him a people. Here we come to the sovereignty of God in salvation. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, this does not abrogate man's responsibility. Rather, it emphasizes great confidence in the salvation of sinners. Before Dr. Cairns returns to the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 149 and verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him. Be glad of heart, O believer, but take care that thy gladness has its spring in the Lord. Thou hast much cause for gladness in thy God, for thou canst sing with David, God, my exceeding joy. Be glad that the Lord reigneth, that Jehovah is king. Rejoice that he sits upon the throne and ruleth all things. Every attribute of God should become a fresh ray in the sunlight of our gladness. That he is wise should make us glad, knowing as we do our own foolishness. That he is mighty should cause us to rejoice who tremble at our weakness. That he is everlasting should always be a theme of joy when we know that we wither as the grass. That he is unchanging should perpetually yield us a song, since we change every hour. That he is full of grace, that he is overflowing with it, and that this grace in covenant he has given to us, that it is ours to cleanse us, ours to keep us, ours to sanctify us, ours to perfect us, ours to bring us to glory, all this should tend to make us glad in him. This gladness in God is as a deep river. We have only as yet touched its brink. We know a little of its clear, sweet, heavenly streams, but onward the depth is greater, and the current more impetuous in its joy. The Christian feels that he may delight himself not only in what God is, but also in all that God has done in the past. The Psalms show us that God's people in olden times were wont to think much of God's actions and to have a song concerning each of them. So let God's people now rehearse the deeds of the Lord. Let them tell of his mighty acts and sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Nor let them ever cease to sing, for as new mercies flow to them day by day, so should their gladness in the Lord's loving acts, in providence and in grace, show itself in continued thanksgiving. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
died for these transgressors. He made intercession for them. Those two things go together. The death accomplishing redemption, the intercession applying redemption. And remember when I mentioned the intercession, remember the Lord Jesus Christ's own words in John chapter 17. When he spoke of this intercession, he drew a distinction between his people, those who were then born, and later he talks about those who would yet be born. So he's talking about his people. And he constantly refers to them as those whom thou hast given me out of the world. And he contrasts those people with the world. Now, the word world is used in many ways in Scripture. John Owen charts out five different major categories with many subcategories of the use of the word world in Scripture. There's nothing unusual about that. We use it in a variety of different ways, and we never think that there's anything strange about it. But here John is quoting Christ as using the world to be the contrast with his people whom God has given him to be redeemed out of the world. And he says, I pray for them, that is those whom thou hast given me. I pray not for the world. I want you to get that. I'm not here to apologize for Christ. I'm not here even particularly to explain why this is so. This is in the sovereignty of God. But on the authority of Jesus Christ himself, in the holiest of all, in that moment when he's lifting up his soul to his Father in heaven, he says, Father, there are people whom thou hast given me out of the world, for them I pray. For the world, that great mass out of which you gave me these people, I do not pray. Now let that sink in. Because I want to tell you, Jesus Christ did not die with the intention of redeeming those for whom he refuses to pray. And Jesus Christ does not refuse to pray for those whom he intended to redeem by his blood. His accomplishment of redemption by his death and his application of it by his intercession are inseparable. You see, you can't have accomplishment of redemption without application of redemption. It's a contradiction in terms. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Speaking of Christ, we have here, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, there's purpose in order that. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, with the purpose that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. It's what is called in theology the doctrine of counter-imputation. If my guilt was imputed to Christ, then Christ's righteousness consequently is imputed to me. Now, I want you to understand what it's saying. My guilt cannot be imputed to Christ without Christ's righteousness being imputed to me. Can't be done. The accomplishment and the application of redemption go together. Think of that famous verse in Hebrews 9:22. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So, here you have it. There's no remission without atonement. Now, you can write that over Hebrews 9:22. Without atonement, no remission for sins. But think of it. It's true the other way around. Without remission of sins, there was no atonement. How could we say Christ atoned for our sins if they're never taken away? How can we say he satisfied God's justice if his wrath still burns against us? How could we say he is a propitiation and a sacrifice well-pleasing to God if God still damns our souls in hell under eternal condemnation? Without atonement, there's no remission, but without the remission, there's no atonement. The two things stand together. The accomplishment. I like to put it when I'm lecturing theology, the accomplishment of redemption includes its application. One of the things that Jesus purchased by his blood shedding, one of the blessings that he purchased, was the work of the Holy Spirit infallibly applying the work of Christ. Romans 8:32. This is speaking in the context of the mighty purpose of God. You go back in the 8th chapter of Romans. The mighty purpose of God from eternity to eternity for his people in and through Christ. It says, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things from eternal predestination unto eternal glorification. Now, notice the basis of the logic here. If God gave Christ for us, Paul says it's impossible that he should fail to give us anything that Jesus purchased. Now, that's simple, straightforward biblical logic. I hear an awful lot of criticism from Arminian preachers who say that we who are Reformed, all we do is use logic. We use philosophy. We don't use Scripture. I want you to know, and I trust you've noticed, that I have very liberally used the Scripture, but I am not afraid to stop and stand and look at that Scripture and allow the Scripture to mean what it says and say what it means. And I'm not going to come to the Scripture and then invent an Arminian philosophy of logic that evacuates the Scripture of all its meaning. You see, what I'm getting at is there is no failure in our greater Joshua. There is no frustration. The Lord Jesus Christ is not sitting in heaven, a frustrated mediator. Oh, I wanted to do so much, and those mighty men wouldn't allow me. I get sick, sore, and tired of listening to preachers telling the world what Christ will do if only we will allow him. What? What? Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Now come to your Bible. Tell me. Or have we descended to the level of preaching an impotent Christ or a semi-impotent Christ who would do a whole lot if only we would allow him? My friend, I want to tell you, the Christ of this book is a sovereign Christ. He is an almighty Christ. He is a successful Christ. There is no failure. There is no frustration in his work. Listen to Isaiah 53 and verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be brokenhearted. Is that what it says? He shall see of the travail of his soul and have a little bit of joy that he saw so much done, but a little bit of sadness that he didn't see more done. Thank God that's not in my Bible. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Notice again, when he bears the iniquity, he justifies. You cannot draw a great line of distinction, or should I say division, between these. Christ intended his work to be conferred upon all his people. Christ accomplished all he intended, and therefore he infallibly applies all his work to all for whom he did it. Now that brings me to the final thing, and that is that this sovereign grace of God in Christ emphasizes our personal responsibility to appropriate the work of Christ by faith. Go back to Joshua. He waged the war, and he won the land. Then he settled the inheritance on each tribe. But listen, each tribe had the responsibility to possess that land by faith. And here's the complete parallel with Christ. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Those two things, God's sovereignty, it is God who's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, God's sovereignty, and man's personal faith, working out his own salvation, receiving by faith and living by faith the salvation of God. In the minds of men, those two things are contradictory, but not in the mind of God. It's the perverted, depraved logic of man that puts a contradiction where God says there's total harmony. I've often quoted to you the words of Spurgeon when someone asked him years and years ago, obviously, "Mr. Spurgeon, can you reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility?" He simply shrugged and said, "I never try to reconcile friends." If these were contradictory, I would have to reconcile them. But God puts them right together. Indeed, God puts his sovereignty as the basis upon which to exercise our responsibility. Listen to me very carefully. The sovereignty of God's grace in salvation is not an excuse for carelessness. It is a reason for confidence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.